Welcome to the Warriors of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Warriors of Grace is about helping men from generation to generation become gospel men in private, in the home, in the church, and in public through the Word of God. Now for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
All right, guys, well, welcome back to the Warriors of Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I am the host for this podcast. And today we're going to talk about applying God's Word, a guide to benefits and methods. And so far we've talked about in this series about the Holy Spirit and reading the Bible, what a delightful duty is, and how we should approach the reading of God's Word. We talked about the difference between reading God's Word and studying God's Word, and we've talked about the Christ-centered nature of Scripture and some tips on reading and studying the Bible. And last week we talked about memorization and meditation, and this week we're going to talk about application. And the way that I think about application, it really goes back to a question my friend asked, and I gave it to you throughout the series. It's this: how much of God's Word can you take and utilize? This is a question of application, not just how much of God's Word can you, you know, have stored in your heart or have knowledge of, but how much of it can you take, and you not only have studied it and you've read it and you understand what it means, but how much of it can you take and apply to your life into the ministry of other people? And so this is what we this is where the application issue goes. Application is a matter of obedience. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit aims to take the word that you hear, that you read, that you study, that you meditate on, that you memorize, and plant it deep into your heart. What God wants for you is for your heart and for your life to be grounded in the fertile soil of God's word so that you can experience transformation in all of life. In fact, this is what James 1:22 through 25 is all about. It's about application. You know, he says, James says in this text, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." This is similar to what Jesus says in John 13:17. "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Now, what James has in mind in his epistle is this. It's the idea that you might know things, you might have knowledge of things, but the issue for James is, how are you doing at the knowledge of those things in your life very practically? How is it being lived out? How is it being fleshed out in our lives? And this is the question, the issue of application. You see, the Holy Spirit, he indwells you at the moment of your salvation as a Christian man, and he aims to help you to see and to know the Lord Jesus. According to James, we might know the truth powerfully. It can be plain as day as we see it in the scripture or as we see ourselves in a mirror. And yet, if we're not doing it, we're like a man who looks in the mirror and forgets immediately what they saw and looks away. It's a ridiculous word picture, but it helps us to understand the insanity of looking away from God's word and remaining unchanged. James has made it a point here to, in his epistle, through the implanted word language in chapter 1 to make much of the gospel. That is, if we have been born again, because we've been born again, because our heart of stone has been replaced with a new heart, with new desires and new affections for the Lord, we will desire then to obey. The word doers in James 1:22 is active. It's like my mom growing up used to say to me, actions speak louder than words. And maybe your mom used to tell you something similar. Well, James is saying something stronger than this. He is saying, become a doer. In other words, don't just tell me about how great your Christian life is. Don't just tell me about how you're growing. Show me. Don't tell me about how you've checked some spiritual growth box and now you're doing well in your walk with God. James is saying, I need to see you know it by your life. I need to see evidence that transformation by the grace of God is occurring. He's saying that knowing the right things from God's word should lead to practice. Faith must lead to action. Those who are generally wise are to show it through evidence. To those who know the right things and don't do it, to James, that's sin. And he utilizes this insight with a powerful illustration, James does. And he does so by pointing out that the man who hears the word without obeying it is like a man who looks the mirror briefly. He sees his face, he looks away, and he does nothing about the faults that he finds there. Such a reaction, it doesn't make sense, but this is the force of what James is saying. And so when we look in the mirror of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit comes alongside to bring it to bear on our lives, resulting in confession and conviction of sin. So rather than gazing at ourselves carelessly, we are to gaze into the Word of God, allow it to expose our sin, our failures, and to profit from the Word of God as a mirror. We must understand what James is saying in James 1:25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So because the law of God is perfect, since it's perfectly suited to guide us into our lives, remember the law we're referring to here is the law of Moses, the commands of the prophets, the example of godly conduct from the Old Testament children of God. And when Christians follow the law, not out of duty, but out of delight, they flourish. When the Lord God gave the law, he said, I brought you out of bondage. He did not say, I hereby bring you into bondage. James is speaking here about the law of liberty. This is the genuine source for genuine freedom before God. People talk today about wanting to be free to do whatever they want, but deep down we know that's not true. At your job, you are told what to do. You're given your expectations of what you're expected to do. And if you don't do it, you'll get fired. Then you won't have a paycheck. If you are going to have a loving and a gracious conversation with somebody about what's going on in their lives over time, see they aren't applying what you said, then what do? Do you rejoice because they're struggling? Do you laugh at them? No, you're sad because you love and you care for them and you want the best for them. The law of liberty is concerned with the same thing. And the law of liberty helps us understand the character of God at a heart level. The law of liberty is suited to address man's condition and to bring the remedy of the gospel to bear on all of our lives. And when we look into the mirror of our souls with the word of God, we can find genuine freedom and blessing and know how to love one another. We can do so because of the grace of God, which through the Holy Spirit, the word of God is used as a mirror. He holds it up into our lives and he convicts our hearts. And so James says, blessed are those who gaze into the law, they remember it, they practice it. Genuine blessing in the Christian life lies in doing the will of God, and not merely in knowing the right answers. Luke 11:28, Jesus says this, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. That is, that doing is concrete. It means that we have true religion. Now, James is concerned that we know the truth and we be planted in the rich soil of God's word. He wants us to know more than just that the gospel has saved your soul, but he wants to know whether presently are persevering with joy in the goodness of God. And so he commands that if the word is implanted in you, it will bring forth evidence that shows, that demonstrates the reality of your salvation. And so James knows that such obedience is not a trivial issue. The call for visible obedience is unwavering, and the logic is profoundly penetrating. James knows that such obedience may be out of your reach right now, which is why he says in James 1:5 to ask for wisdom and the strength of the implanted word. Well, last week we talked about biblical memorization and meditation. Biblical meditation leads to application and obedience to the word of God. Joshua in Joshua 1:8 is very clear when he says, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then he says, then you will be prosperous and successful, meaning that it would not be as a result of meditation only, but God's blessing upon meditating on the word and memorizing it. And so by approaching the word in the right way, you will aim to apply it to your life. Meditation is not an end goal in and of itself, but a means of grace to help us grow in Christ and to drive the word more in depth into our hearts. Meditation is fuel for application. You and I, we live as men in a 24/7 news cycle. We have more information coming at us through the internet, through social media, through websites and news sources and so on. We are inundated with it more than ever. What we need is to stop and to come to the fount of God's word, to read and to study and to meditate and memorize and to take the word and apply it to our hearts and to our lives for refreshment, for our parched spirits and food for our hungry souls. If you do not apply the word of God to your life, you can read and you can study, you can meditate and memorize on the word without any profit. And you'll never have your heart warmed and purified by the grace of God. In fact, in meditating on the word of God, your heart is warmed and purified by the grace of God. It fuels us like a car at a gas station, encouraging us into passionate action for the glory of God. Psalm 119:15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Through meditation, King David says, he discerned the ways of God and how to be a doer of the word. And as you meditate on the word, ask good questions of the biblical text. In fact, the more questions you can ask and then answer about a verse, the more you'll gain insight and understanding about how it applies to your life. And as you do this, you'll begin to see that the Bible is more than just a mere book, but God's gift to help you see connections between Scripture, our world, and the lives of others. And then you'll start to do what John Stott wrote about in Between Two Worlds, or what Augustine of Hippo talked about in The City of God, understanding that the kingdom of God is both here in the now and yet also in the future. And the kingdom of God is here now because of the person and the work of Jesus Christ through local churches. God is building his kingdom through his people, and yet his kingdom is of the future. He will glorify the precious possession, the apple of his eye, his people, and they will be entirely clothed and like the Lord Jesus. And so to get to know Jesus, your friend, you need to crack open that Bible. You need to get to hearing, to reading, to studying, to meditating, memorizing, and applying the word of God. The men that God has used, the greatest in the history of church, are word-centered, word-shaped, and word-practicing men. The Lord uses these men despite their fear, their anxiety, or their ability to speak and write. God desires to take the word that you are reading and studying and to drive it deeper into your heart and life. So let me ask you a question. Are you a doer of the word? Maybe like me, you may have read the Bible since you're 5 or earlier. Maybe you've even read it for 50 years or more. And maybe then again, you just started. But my question isn't whether you read the word or even know it. My question is whether you're applying the word of God and obeying it. You see, hearing and reading and studying and meditating and memorizing and even applying the Bible, they're all great, but they fail. All fail like a falling tree in the forest without application. The great difficulty you see in applying the Bible is in opposition to the authority of the Word of God, which brings salvation and transformation in all of life. I need you and you need me so that we don't just look in the mirror like, you know, I did when I was in my teens and in early 20s when I was full of the right answers. But those answers weren't affecting my life. I did not see at that time of my life how the Bible was not just for my head, but for all of life. In the local church, we need one another. We need to do life with one another so that we can go out into our various vocation as word-shaped and word-formed Christians, carrying forth the grace of God to others. And this is where we're going to turn now in our series, starting next week for a few weeks. We're going to talk about issues inside of the local church so that we can do life with one another in the local church for God's glory. And I trust that you're finding this series to be helpful, and I'm thankful to be able to do it because we need to talk about these things, and we need to talk about them so that we can read and study and meditate and memorize and apply the Bible all for the glory of God so that we might grow in the Lord Jesus. I want to thank you for listening or watching this episode of the Warriors of Grace podcast. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Warriors of Grace podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you want to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or search Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find our show on the front page of the website servantsofgrace.org.